Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clarity.
We have to follow the facts.
Credibility.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
Begin a brand new day.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Yes, indeed. It is Thursday, baby. 6:08 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. As we salute you, our Sky listeners, we salute you. Hi, we good thing we're not on video.
You looked a little Elon Musk.
Okay, back to my Miss America in the back of the convertible, just waving the hand to the crowd. Hi, just a little twist there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe they continue to make an issue out. If you're not familiar, Elon Musk at the inauguration at some point in there, he was saying from my heart, I open my heart to you, or, you know, heartfelt thanks, whatever, to the crowd. But, boy, the angle of his hand seemed to be a little too far down.
The palm was too far down, Bob.
Now, if I can critique it, if he's doing like, you know, Heil Hitler or whatever, it would have to be higher.
Yeah.
He did not, the hand was not high enough. So if you're looking for some signal, it's some white supremacist thing. Well, he failed miserably, but that's not going to stop the left because, well, let's see. What does the left have? Oh, they have nothing.
Big enough.
And it's become clearer and clearer. Look, they're attacking and have been, okay, even before the nomination, Pete Hegseth. Listen to this from Town Hall. One of the NBC News reporters who wrote the shoddy hit piece against Trump's nominee for Secretary of Defense is accused in an internal complaint of making false claims of sexism and misogyny. False claims. You read that right. Well, I read it right.
Yeah.
And then she then had the gall. Mm-hmm. To run with the cockamamie story of Hegseth reportedly being threatening toward his second wife, who later refuted the allegations, characterized them as inaccurate. It's too cold for everything to be completely warmed up yet.
Too many syllables.
But NBC News ran with the story anyway.
Shocking. Not really.
To boot, the allegations weren't even brought forward by Mr. Hegseth's ex-wife, but by the ex-spouse of his brother. Hmm. Are you kidding me?
Okay, just mind your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hit piece is killed with two haymakers to its credibility. One, and the most damning, is Hegseth's second wife refuting the claims made.
Right.
The second is why this complaint was brought forward at 0 hour when the Senate is about to vote on his confirmation.
Nothing suspect there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Senators received an affidavit Tuesday from the former sister-in-law of Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth, in which she says his behavior caused his second wife to fear for her safety. The receipt of the affidavit comes after Senate Armed Services Committee staffers were in contact with Hegseth's former sister-in-law for several days. The former sister-in-law, Danielle Hegseth, submitted the affidavit in response to a January 18th letter from Senator Jack Reed, the Democrat from Rhode Island, seeking, quote, a statement attesting to your personal knowledge about Mr. Hegseth's fitness to occupy this important position. In an email response Monday, Samantha Hegseth said, first and foremost, I have not and will not comment on my marriage to Pete Hegseth. I do not have representatives speaking on my behalf, nor have I ever asked anyone to share or speak about the details of my marriage on my behalf, whether it be a reporter, a committee member, a transition team member, etc. And then she added, I do not believe your information to be accurate, and I have copied my lawyer on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Asked about what information was not accurate and for comment on the affidavit, she replied, there was no physical abuse in my marriage. This is the only further statement I will make to you. I have to let you know that I am not speaking and will not speak on my marriage to Pete. Please respect this decision. Wow. So Danielle Hegseth said in an affidavit, a redacted copy of which has been reviewed by NBC News, quote, I have chosen to come forward publicly at significant personal sacrifice because I'm deeply concerned by what Hegseth's confirmation would mean for our military and our country. Yeah. She sounds like she's a real patriot. And she adds that part of her reason for coming forward is because I've been assured that making this public statement will ensure that certain senators who are still on the fence will vote against Hegseth's confirmation. I mean, she's saying that is her motivation for making the statement. That is her motivation so that he does not get that position. Is that based on fact? Well, according to his ex-wife, no. Who would know better, his ex-wife or his ex-sister-in-law? I think his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Because that's what the allegations were about, was their marriage, Hegseth's marriage to his wife. And she goes on to say, now this is the sister-in-law, not the ex-wife. But for the assurance, I would not subject myself or others referred to in this statement to the public scrutiny this statement is likely to cause. We've seen this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
Confirm Hegseth now, and we'll see. They're also holding up in the Senate Pam Bondi's nomination, at least for now. If they're slow walking or what kind of game that the Democrats in the Senate are playing. But we will definitely stay on top of that. Greg mentioned earlier, I-10, if you have to use I-10 in your travels today or you have family or friends or business folks that are coming in, say from Alabama, part of I-10 is closed west of Tallahassee to almost Mobile, Alabama. And that's because of a dangerous possibility of ice, you know, with all the snow they had. Then the snow melts.
They're not used to messing with that.
Then the melting turns into ice.
Yep.
Not good. Not good for anybody. So, you know, yeah, they took precautions. The governor made this announcement yesterday. But they're looking at a possible target opening, depending on conditions, of 9 a.m. So that's I-10 west of Tallahassee all the way to Alabama. It is closed temporarily. Should be open at 9. Fear of ice, which we don't see a whole lot of generally.
No, you got to respect it.
Sunshine yes. State.
We're not the ice state.
Come on, Sunshine State. Earn your name.
Yeah, we could use a little warm-up.
Time to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mariano Rivera is an iconic pitcher for the New York Yankees, was. And he and his wife got involved in, well, doing great things, Christian, you know, charities, etc. And there is a Gainesville connection and allegations in a child sexual assault lawsuit that involves Mariano Rivera and his wife. Details on that coming up right here on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
The Sean Hannity Show.
They cared more about the Delta smelt than they did about the farmers.
Afternoons at 3.
And the farmers lost their entire livelihood because they chose a minnow fish over the farmers.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Another day in paradise, and we're almost there. Happy Thursday, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're both shivering just a little, but
you need a pair of gloves with your paradise.
We're still joyous.
Yes.
Nonetheless, and filled with absolute gratitude, and from my heart to you, from my
watch your arm,
hail
Bob.
Heart to you, hail wow. Ya.
I know.
My dad used to do this great impression. You got to remember, my dad was 43 when he got married, 48 when I was born,
okay.
And first and only marriage,
mm-hmm.
And so yeah, he was an older father. So you got to remember, he was born in 1914. I mean, he literally saw Ty Cobb play baseball. Literally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Saw Sugar Ray Robinson fight and Jake LaMotta. I mean, look, wow. Had a great life. Well, he was a bachelor hanging out with his dad, who was a bachelor in their young lives. They would travel. I mean, they were having a blast.
And then history at your house.
He had a dream. Now, my version, you know, God came to him in a dream, but it's his dream. So he says, I had a dream. It was very vivid, and I was going to get married and have kids. Now, you got to remember, he's 40-something years old in the 1950s.
Wow.
That ain't going to happen. So he woke up kind of laughing, and he couldn't wait to tell his dad, and they both got the biggest laugh out of it. Was either that weekend or a couple weekends later. They went to Atlantic City from Detroit, another one of their jaunts, right?
All right.
And he meets my mom.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So my dad was a character because it's hard to describe him because he was kind of stoic, but he had this great sense of humor. It was a little dry, but it was just great. And so when he did things, it was easy for him to be like kind of outrageous, if you will. It didn't take much.
Okay.
You didn't have to be a shock jock. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So he'd come out and he'd put his comb. He had his little black coat over his, you know, like his mustache. And he'd go, and he'd start doing this like Hitler.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. But then you think about it, it's like he was a young adult during all that.
Yeah,
and
he lived through it.
So anyway, he was hilarious. Wow. So when I see these things and they try to make it into something it's not, it's painfully obvious that, you know, the piling on of, you know, against Elon Musk it's nothing but an agenda. There is absolutely no substance there. These people truly live in the lunatic fringe.
They're trying too hard.
They have, as I've said earlier, they have nothing else.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot to talk about today. I-10 is closed if you have to travel until about 9 a.m. this morning, it looks like. And we're talking west of Tallahassee to the Alabama state line, or maybe a little bit further, but almost to Mobile, Alabama. But if 9 o'clock, they're looking at a target to open that up. And for the rest of us, we're back to normal. Yes, it's cold, but no fear of ice, per se. And schools, everybody's back to normal. As far as we know, right, Greg?
Yep.
Everybody normal?
Okay. Looks like. Just cold.
All right. Here I am, once again, both the problem solver and the predictor of doom.
Wow. That's
or at least aggravation. How about that? Predictor of aggravation.
Such optimism here.
Well, there's a story out, and it's about Starbucks and their policies maybe shifting and changing because if you're not familiar, Starbucks, expensive coffee. Some think it's worth it because they're willing to pay the price, and they still do a pretty good business. And then it's a cool place to hang out, and you connect with their Wi-Fi, and, you know, you go to town. You could be a student catching up on homework. You could be, you know, somebody getting work done. Who knows? Paying bills, whatever you're doing. You know, you got that. You could be reading a book, whatever. They're pretty casual about hanging out there. Well, now they're realizing this lounging is not a great idea, along with the fact that, you know, they became basically the toilet of the homeless people.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so they would go in there and take the bathroom up for a long time and scrub up. And, you know, I mean, and so, yeah, and they weren't making any purchases. So that became a problem. They had to adjust to that. Well, I could have solved this problem for them.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you know any time you go anywhere, you know, to try to make a purchase, even at the fast food joints now, did you use the app to make your order today?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't, and I won't tomorrow, but let me give you my order now since I'm here, and we're using this little wireless device in the microphone now.
Uh-huh.
And so everybody asks you, oh, you call customer service. Well, did you download the app? You know?
It gets frustrating.
If I had a nickel for every time.
Uh-huh.
You need an app to take a crap.
Wow. So do you have to, like, get on the app and make reservations, stall 2 at 9:45
Yeah, you go into Starbucks and you try the handle and you can't get in.
True.
And you go to there and you go, oh, do you have a key or a code or something? And they go, oh, you need an app to take a crap.
Wow.
Now, a lot of the homeless folks have phones.
Sure they do. I've seen them.
But would they be willing selfies. to download the app? But I want this as my invention.
Uh-huh.
Whoever gets it when you make a lot of money.
The crap app.
Get Greg a cool sports car.
Please.
Get me one just a little cooler. That's all.
That's all he wants.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The app to take a crap.
Well, you may be onto something here. I remember.
Well, I'm on some, all right.
Yeah, it could be. I remember years ago, White Castles, you had to put a dime in the thing to get in the stall because they didn't
really?
Want people just come in and off the street. And actually, you mentioned Starbucks. They've actually remodeled their stores. It's a little less seating and a bigger area for operation, like behind the counter, to make it more efficient because they're doing the app things where people are coming in just to grab their order and go. You've got people in line inside, and you've got a drive-through. So they've had to make it a bigger production line. Store's the same size, but less seating, rearranged a little bit.
I was going to, you know, again, this is another one of my pie-in-the-sky ideas.
Uh-huh.
I was going to just counter the counter action to that. It was going to be called, instead of Starbucks, uh-huh. Low Bucks. And it was going to be $2, whatever you want in it, within reason.
Yeah, right.
It's $2. That's it. Low Bucks.
Cheap
Come
coffee.
To Low Bucks.
Wow.
But, you know, it will limit it to, like, you know, 10 options you can have.
Sure.
If you start doing that, I want a double latte, minus some
jam, some
stuff.
It's expensive, yeah.
It's like, no, and we know, and we don't have nut milk either. Because there's no such thing. Nut milk. Can I have nut milk? Yeah. Oh, no. Why don't you try just grabbing a handful of oats and squeeze milk out of that?
Uh-huh.
You people. I tell you, you people. I've got a more serious story coming up next. Stick around. It has a... national and local implications. 97.3 The Sky.
This is Sky News.
Thank you, President Trump. We're coming home.
Yeah! So this is January 6th. Faux pardon.
Trending stories.
Winter has come to the South.
And why they matter.
6 inches of snow has fallen around Interstate 10.
North Central Florida's news station.
When it comes to foreign policy, on a very clear mission. To ensure that our foreign policy is centered on one thing, and that is the advancement of our national interests.
On air and everywhere on the Odyssey app. News Talk 97.3. The Sky. As 2025 has barely begun,
let's go.
We are already hitting the ground running.
There's always so much going on.
News at an astounding rate.
Sky keeps me connected to what's going on.
The news station.
News station.
97.3. The Sky.
Good morning. Stay warm. Yeah, can you believe it? Still have these very, very cold temperatures. Hopefully soon we'll be snapping out of it. As I like to say, it is 6:38. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And this is going to be a pretty big story for several reasons. Yankees, I'll give you the headline right from the New York Post. And this has local implications all the way to Gainesville, Florida. Yankees icon Mariano Rivera, wife Clara, are at the center of what they're terming a bombshell child sexual assault lawsuit. You're like, what? They're facing a shocking lawsuit alleging the couple covered up the sexual abuse of a minor at their Rye, New York home and at a summer camp connected with their church. This was viewed by the Post, the lawsuit was, filed last week in state Supreme Court in Westchester County. It alleges the Riveras failed to act after learning that a young girl linked to their Refuge of Hope Church in New Rochelle was sexually abused. Quote, our lawsuit alleges that Mariana and Clara Rivera had a duty to protect our client and missed the opportunity to save her from the harms of sexual abuse. That's the attorney, Adam Horowitz of Horowitz Law, one of the lawyers representing the victim. The Post request for more comment or comment from representative of Rivera is gone unanswered, at least up until this press time. The plaintiff, referred to as Jane Doe, attended a summer internship in 2018 at Clara's suggestion. Okay, that's Clara Rivera. And the place is Ignite Life Center in Gainesville, where alleged abuse by an older girl who was a minor at the time took place. So the one who is alleged to be the abuser was still a minor, so this, the Jane Doe, must have been younger than her, as it, that's how it's reported. Now, Jane Doe claims she was repeatedly sexually abused in the camp's dormitory and shower with the older girl fondling, and I'm not going to get all into it, but yeah, it's of a sexual nature for sure. Mariano and Clara Rivera later traveled down to the Life Center in Gainesville after Jane Doe's mother expressed she was concerned for Jane Doe's safety at the summer camp. So it seems like, you know, the mother reaches out to them and they immediately react and they come down to Florida. And the mother said she had been assured that Clara would look into her concerns and respond accordingly. Now, this is where, of course, you're only going to hear from the plaintiff's side. You're only hearing about the suit from their side of it for now. And the suit claims that when the Riveras made the trip, where they learned or should have learned information about the sexual abuse taking place, they each separately, it's alleged, isolated and intimidated Jane Doe to remain silent about her abuse in order to, quote unquote, avoid causing trouble for both church organizations. The suit states the girl returned to New York after the conclusion of the internship and continued to attend services at Refuge of Hope. That's up there in New Rochelle. So, and then there's a separate alleged incident that occurred in August of 2018 at the Rivera's then residence on Brookview Lane in Rye, New York, during a barbecue for children of the Refuge of Hope Church with no parents invited to the event. I wonder why they wouldn't have, maybe not all the parents, but I don't know, did they have other people supervising? I don't know. Again, you hear one side of suit and allegations, at least for now. And the older girl who allegedly abused the victim earlier the same year was invited and once again sexually abused Jane Doe. The litigation also alleges that the girl had been sexually abused by the adult son of an associate pastor at the church. Ruben Tavares Jr., son of Ruben Tavares Sr., allegedly abused her in or around late 2021 and into 2022, continued to contact her to engage in graphic electronic communications, according to the Horowitz information from the attorneys. All right, so here's the problem. We're not going to know whether or not this is really valid, whether or not the Riveras really did try to take some appropriate actions. See, it leaves you with the unknown. But here's what it does. No matter how it comes out, you've already heard the allegations, and they even use the term, you know, bombshell to get your attention. I'm concerned that, well, look, follow the money and look for opportunities. I mean, attorneys that are filing lawsuits, they're not going to file lawsuits against an entity that has no money. You know, the old turnip thing. So that's one side of it. The other side is, you know, where you would feel or should be able to feel safe, you know, that your children are under supervision in a, you know, in a Christian organization. However, remember, I mean, you can't keep all bad things of the world out. You know, if it had a force field type thing, that would be awesome. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So I guess my fear and concerns is, you know, it is another kind of shot at Christianity, for instance. And you heard that bishop, that woman that gave that, I don't know what you call it. I don't know, but it wasn't like a sermon. Right?
Not very encouraging, was it?
You know, at part of the Trump inaugural. See, faith and family are tied together. And I think that the left's running out of things, but they're not going to stop doing some of the things they do, like, frankly, trying to destroy the family. We've got a lot more to talk about coming up. Carl Zalek from Marion County, our Marion County Commissioner. He's going to be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcasts, so you'll never miss a minute of the show. Just click on subscribe, and you are in. Happy Thursday, 97.3 The Sky.
I'm not here to be best friends with these people. I'm a taxpayer, damn it.
10 p.m. night.
I want a return on the investment of the money that was stolen from me and sanctioned by calling it tax.
On 97.3, The Sky.
I was just checking my email, which I do diligently at least every 3 days. And I saw a note somebody sent me. You know, Dr. John, who's been a regular kind of part of our show since the whole COVID thing began, and Dr. John Littell, a family practitioner in the Ocala area. And I got a note from somebody who said his mother passed away. So,
yeah, I reached out to him last night. She was 97 years old and actually had fallen and had a head injury and passed away. And that was very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Very much so. He's a good man, and we're. You know, very pleased with our association with him. And so, you know, prayers to you, Dr. John, and hope you get through this tough time. And, you know, 97, remember the love. Remember the love she gave you. And that's all you can do, you know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it was a life well lived, and I have a feeling it was, because we can see the product of that and hear the product of that.
Absolutely.
With Dr. John. All right. A lot of things going on today. I-10 closed. This is from west of Tallahassee to the Alabama state line. That's going to be closed to approximately 9 a.m., they think. Basically, a lot of snow melts, then the cool temperatures come back, turns into ice. You don't want that.
It's worse than before.
Governor DeSantis wanted to avoid that, what could be a potential mess. So, yeah, it'll put some people out of their way, but that'll be that should be open at 9 is what they're shooting for. Right now, right? This is a story that it sounds like this is nothing new, but I'm going to share it with you. The Biden Justice Department manipulated crime data to fit Democrats' narrative that, you know, violent crime is at a 50-year low.
Right.
Remember when Biden was running around touting that?
Mm-hmm.
I could have swore that was eventually corrected by the FBI and saying, well, that we didn't have all the numbers to give them or something. Mm. But anyway, the story is a law enforcement expert is poking holes in the now former Biden administration Department of Justice repeated claims that violent crime sank to a 50-year record low, saying the agency manipulated data to reach its conclusions. Ben Alexandro, he's a security expert, served 26 years, a Nashville, Tennessee police officer. And he says, look, they manipulated the data to reach a certain outcome.
Right. No doubt.
And he talked about, you know, violent crimes as reported through the FBI. They developed these nationwide statistics, and it's, you know, they gather, you know, on serious crime. And he said, look, the Biden administration manipulated the data. They actually changed kind of the reporting conditions. And so they changed the conditions in such a way, it looks like it was purposefully done to make the numbers look better. Yep.
Well, so you tie that in, and then you do the thing where they're actually not prosecuting people or arresting them. So if arrests are down, then they turn that into crime is down. And as far as playing with the numbers and reformulating what the crime is, it's the same thing they did with gun violence. Remember with mass shootings? You know, we think of a mass shooting, it's a guy on a tower and 30 people get hit. No, if you've got three people get injured in a gun incident or something like that, it's really small. It's a mass shooting, and that's just a crock.
Well, one of the things that we know is a fact. This isn't just some guy making allegations outside of his expertise. In 2023, approximately 70% of police departments that were reporting under the old rules, the UCR rules, stopped reporting in 2023, 70%. You're talking about L.A., Chicago, New York City, about 40 to 45% of Florida police departments. And so when you have major cities not reporting, it's going to look like you have had a major drop in crime. And, you know, here's the thing. It's like they'll stop at nothing. And this is just another example of the left. You know, it used to be, you know, the good old days, they make you promises and then they didn't deliver. And then they bend the truth. And what politician maybe hasn't done that? Okay, not saying it's okay, but now, and this started happening, it seemed like about 8 or 9 years ago, they began to just literally make stuff up.
Yes.
Like with used yes. to be at least there was some basis, some foundation, you know?
Right.
Oh, there's a tiny bit of smoke over here. Yeah, we'll pretend like it's a huge blaze. I mean, that was fairly common, making a mountain out of a molehill, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But now they just make it up. And maybe Hillary Clinton helped to lead the way because, you know, she was kind of at the heart in the beginning of that whole dossier.
Oh, yeah.
That was designed to, you know, pull the plug on Trump's campaign. And that was all, like, literally made up. And they got away with that for a long time. So I guess that's when they figured, you know, look, we'll do whatever we want. We'll say whatever we want. We know we're not going to be held truly accountable. And those are some of the things they engaged in. Again, this desperation of the left is only going to increase. Now that the voters have spoken, they're only going to get nastier and uglier. They're going to lie even more because in their minds, they still believe it. The end justifies the means, whatever they need to do to win. They're saving democracy. They're saving the country from a dictator. Remember the old Marxist rules that I've said on this show for a long time. They call you what they are. So when they call Trump, you know, a Hitler or a dictator or whatever like that, it really worries me that should these folks ever regain a serious level of power, we've seen it progress. Under Obama, all the things he did, and then Joe Biden came in and said, you know, here, hold my medication.
Wow.
It is 6:58. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and a lot more to talk about coming up on this Thursday, 97.3 The Sky.
This is Sky News.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Trending stories.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And why they matter.
From this moment on, America's decline is over.
Updates every 30 minutes. Breaking news at once.
I was saved by God to make America great again.
News Talk 97.3. The